Well, good afternoon, everyone.
I'm very glad to be before you again. I'm always happy for these opportunities. Just remember, there's another UC Little at Delphi next Saturday. So try to get out and support that. What a day we've had, full of spiritual food. What a feast we've had, prepared for us by the people who put this together and the selection of the speakers and the teachers who have teach the Bible classes. What a great thing to have, especially in our world where it's so easy to lose focus on what's most important in this life. My topic that's been here to me is connect for eternal life. There's many things that I've struggled with throughout life. We all have our struggles, we all have our problems. One of mine is the problem of isolation. I love to be alone. You can take me, you can give me a book, and I can go in the corner, and I'll be fine. I don't need to talk to anyone. I love to be alone. One of my struggles is that God tells us that we should be around Christians constantly and create those connections that will be able to get us to our heavenly home. My brothers have never had this problem. My brothers thrive on social interactions. They love it. They thrive off it. After social interactions, after these things, they're on fire, they have all the energy in the world, and I'm trying to go to sleep. They love social interactions. I am not the biggest social butterfly. I was the one in class who would sit in the corner, sit in the back. I would never raise my hand, even though I knew the answer many times. I just sit in the back. I didn't want to be involved in class. Just listen. I'm content with that. But the reality is, if you want to get to heaven, you're going to have connections. When we think of the game of Connect Four, it takes four pieces. Four pieces, and the object of the game is to get four of these pieces connected in a row. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have connections in your life. Connection number one is, you think of just one piece. And if you think of an empty Connect Four board, per se, and you drop just one in, and you see that one chip there, it doesn't look very significant. It looks all alone and lonely. It doesn't have any friends. It's all alone. And that's what happens in life sometimes. Is sometimes we're that chip that's all alone on the Connect Four board, and no one is around us. And in fact, something happens is sometimes the opponent, the devil, will come in and he will taunt you in your little corner, and you'll be isolated from all those connections that you need. Because that's their subjective. He wants to get you isolated. He wants to get you alone. He wants you feeling like you're the only one trying to live this life. It's an easy feeling to have throughout life. I am the only one trying to live the Christian life. But God knew from the very beginning that we needed connections, that we shouldn't be isolated. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God makes man a companion. He said it's not good for man to be alone, so he made woman. But when we're going throughout our lives, it's very easy for us to become isolated. For us to go off to the side, and especially living the Christian life, especially in public schools, it's very easy to get isolated. It's very easy to get off the side. You're going to have to make connections and try to avoid isolation from those, from the world. I found that many times when I'm isolated, or sometimes the darkest moments of my life, because it's so easy for that negative self-talk to come in. You can't do this. You're the only one. You can slip away and do this in the shadows. When you're alone, you're vulnerable. When you're isolated, you're vulnerable. In fact, in Proverbs, the Bible tells us a little bit about isolation. In Proverbs chapter 18, in the very first verse, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. It's not wise to be completely alone. Because when we're completely alone, what we'll do is we'll say, nobody's watching. I can get on that computer and look at some of those things, and maybe I shouldn't. Or I'm alone, and maybe I can do this, and no one will ever find out. The truth is, we're never alone. And God's watchful eye is always over us watching those things that we do. But when it comes to connections in our lives, we have to understand that it's dangerous to be isolated. It's dangerous to be all alone. And if you're going to be successful in this life, if you are going to make a connection for eternal life, you're going to have connections in your life. You can't be isolated. You can't be isolated. But just thinking about one chip alone, I think we have to turn on it and look at the other side of that chip, because the dangers of being alone and the dangers of one chip is being isolated. But we have to think of the power of one, because you guys can make a difference in people's lives.
Sometimes we think that one person can't make a difference, but one person really can make a difference. We look through the Bible and we find all kinds of individuals who make a difference.
But the life that you have chosen, or hopefully will choose,
is a life less traveled. It's a life not walked by many.
And the passage reference, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, talking about that narrow road versus the broad road, many of your friends will not choose the narrow path.
We wish they would, we wish they would walk the straight and narrow path, but they don't.
You know how many Christians are on my basketball team when I played in high school?
None. It was me. I was all alone. I was all alone. No one else was on that team with me. No one else was trying to live for God. After basketball games, they wanted to do certain things. I knew I couldn't do those things.
The same thing's going to happen to you. Okay, you have to understand that you're going to be isolated. So you can make a difference. You can make a difference. So you need to make connections. See, the thing about one person is you can make a difference when you're connecting a community that I don't touch. It's an amazing thing. I used to live in San Jose. I used to touch those people with my presence. Not that I'm old, really powerful, but I try to love Christ. I hope they get a little piece of Christ every time they came in contact with me. Every time I played on the basketball court, I hope that people could see Christ in me. I hope every time that I said I'm not going to do that, they could see Christ in me. Because I said, I'm going to follow Christ. You can make a difference. In fact, when you're young, you can make more of a difference than you'll ever know. More than you ever know, because you'll surprise people. You'll surprise people when you say, I'm staying for Christ, and I might be alone, but I'm staying for Christ, even though no one else seems to be around me. I know the feeling. I know the feeling. At my high school, I looked all around. I looked all around, and like the prophet Elijah, the prophet Elijah was so dismayed of his isolation, he went, I alone am left. I'm the only one left fighting for Christ. Surely it's me.
You gotta be a little careful not to be over dramatic sometimes, but sometimes we have that real feeling that we're alone, that we're the only one living the Christian life. We're the only one on our sports team, we're the only one in our classroom, and it's easy for us to get isolated. Number one, if you're gonna connect for eternal life, you have to be careful not to get isolated. And you have to understand that you can make a difference by living a Christian life. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to do that by making connections. You have to understand that you're a peculiar person, but you can make a difference by being peculiar, by being one of Christ. Connect four. We talked about the first piece. The next piece is piece number two. Piece number two. Who in the world is going to be piece number two? Well, piece number two is your first connection, and you're going to need it if you're going to make heaven. Connection number two is a friend or a family member who has your spiritual well-being at heart. These people are Christians. Number two is someone you need to connect with, that you have a good relationship with, that you can talk to, that can help you through the struggles of life. You need a connection. You can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. And people try. And what they do when they try to do it alone, they try to bottle all up, is what happens is they fall. You need to form a connection. We're most vulnerable when we're alone. We think of Jesus. We look at Jesus in John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. And what we see is Jesus kind of had the same feeling. He said, everyone's left me. He said, they've all scattered. I'm all alone. And you know what Jesus said? He said, but I'm not alone. God is with me. You can't forget that God is still with us, even when we're feeling isolated. We can cast all of our cares upon him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17, cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. We have to understand that we are never alone, even though it sometimes feels that way. But we have to make connections if we're going to make it to heaven. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Bible talks about connections. And it's interesting what the Bible is going to tell us about connections in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. It says, for if they fall, one will lift his companion, and woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie together, they will be one. But how does one be one alone? You need to form a connection with someone. Someone who is a Christian, someone who has the same values as you, the same morals as you, someone who's trying to live the same life. Someone that you can take pride in. Someone that you can go to. Because if you don't have this connection in your life, it's going to be so hard.
we need to connect two is stronger than one.
In middle school and high school, I mowed yards.
Mowed yards all the time.
In fact, that's what I'm known for almost in St. Mary's.
My older brother started mowing, and then I got into it, and my younger brother, and then we had almost our whole business.
I hate to say how many yards we mowed.
Mowed so many yards.
But this one weekend it rained, and we got behind a little bit, which was not typical for us, but we just had so many yards.
We were behind, and my brother took me to this one yard out in country. It was a weed-eating job. It was very isolated.
And he said, we're behind. He said, Kyle, I got to leave you, and I've got to go.
He said, I've got to go to the other yard and mow.
I said, okay, I'll do it, don't worry. And I got the weed eater out, jumped out, he went on down the road to the next house, miles away when you're out in the country.
I was weed eating, going about my business like I always did.
And then Ryan holds my old, sprained my ankle, fell down on the ground.
Now, I broke the bones and I sprained ankles, and just my personal opinion, sprains hurt worse.
That's my opinion.
I was laying on the ground, I threw my weed eater, and I rolled over. And I looked up at the sky, and the heat was well, and that kind of grass all over me. And I looked up, and I remember thinking, no one's coming to help you up.
No one's coming to help me up because I'm alone.
You can't become isolated. You've got to have someone to pick you up when you fall.
We're going
to
fall in life. We're going to make mistakes.
Was it my plan to step in a groundhog hole that day? No, it wasn't. I didn't put that on my list.
Kyle, please step in a groundhog today.
It does. Groundhog, hole, and sprain your ankle.
That was not on my to-do list,
but that's what happened that day. I didn't plan on that happening.
Sometimes bad's going to happen in your life. You're not going to see it coming.
You're not going to plan on coming, but it's going to happen.
And you're going to need someone there to help you up.
It's hard to get up when you're all alone.
Hard to get up when you don't have those connections made. You need to make those connections now.
And one great place to make connections is right here.
You have people who are the same age as you.
That are going to school and come to the same area you are.
Maybe they're county over.
You need that place for together.
This is a great place to form connections.
Connections that will last a lifetime.
Connections that will endure. Connections that will keep you safe.
But here's what the Bible says.
See, it continues on in Ecclesiastes. Not only does it say you should have one person to help you,
it actually says you should have another.
It continues in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and that very same passage. And after it talks about two being better than one, it adds this to it. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
The Bible lays it out for us.
If you want to make it to eternity, God has told you what to do.
He said, don't become isolated.
He said, get a friend. Get a friend who has the same values, who holds the same things that you do, is living the same life, is trying to be a Christian.
But says, don't get one, get two.
And that's a mistake many people make.
If they want to get one friend,
well, what if that one friend falls?
And then you fall.
You need another friend.
It takes three.
You need yourself. If you're not involved in the connection, it's not going to work. You need another one and another one.
You need three.
That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
A three-cord bond is not easily broken.
But yet, how many times in life do you say, I'm going to go at it alone?
How many times in life do you say, I can just do it with me and another?
We need connection if we're going to get where we need to go.
So who are you going to connect with?
That's really the question, isn't it?
Who are you going to connect with? Are you going to connect with good people?
You're going to connect with bad people. Because it's very easy to connect with bad people when you have people around you and you can't find the good.
You can't find the good.
They're not there.
Trust me, I know. I lived it and so do these people too.
They know it.
They know that the path that we live is a narrow road. They know that the path that we travel is less travel, but what we have to understand is we've got to find those connections, and when we find them, we've got to hang on to them so dearly.
I can't tell you how many times I've struggled,
how many times I have fallen,
and I'm lucky I had good connections to pull me up.
In fact, I would not be here this day if I did not have good connections in my life. In fact, the two I think of are not necessarily people, the same age. One of them is
a father and a son.
No relationship, except they're my brothers and sons.
You know, they're close enough, you kind of know who they are,
but it's a father and a son.
It's been there for me throughout my life.
Always been there.
When I needed them, they were there. When things happened in my life, they were there. When my life was missed, they were there.
When I had spiritual problems, they were there. Who are you connecting with? Are you making good connections or bad connections in this life? The Bible tells us to be very careful with the people that we surround ourselves with, because it sends bad company throughout this world. And like Rick said earlier, he's seen it 1,000 times. The book's already been written on it. Evil company corrupts good morals. He thinks he might be able to do it, but he can't. I wish he could. Now that doesn't mean that we totally isolate ourselves and we don't try to influence people in a positive way, but you need to understand that bad people can have an influence on you. Bad company corrupts good morals. Story all things. One of the times I was down on myself the most is I found myself in a situation where two girls called me because I was on a college campus, and they said, "Kyle, would you like a drink?" They said, "We're already at the gas station. We'll pick it up and we'll bring it." And I thought to myself, who am I surrounding myself with that these people think that I would drink? Now, have I drank? No. I kind of live this life as best I can. But how did I get into that situation that I had two girls that had some association with me who thought I would drink? How did they not know who I served? Because I had hidden it. I had hidden it. Why did I hide it? Why did I hide it? Was it because I wanted to fit in? Was it because I was away from home? Why did I hide it? Why did these two girls who had association with me not know that I was a Christian? We hide our Christianity, don't we? We hide it. Here, we wear it like a badge, and then we go out in the world, we pick it off, we hide it in our back pocket, we go throughout our life, and we're no longer the light of the world, we're no longer the salt of the earth. See, it should be when we walk into a room, it shouldn't take too long for people to know that we're a Christian. We're the light of the world. We set out all the light, and someone walked in with a candle, we would see it. It wouldn't take you that long, and you might be looking at that point, but eventually you would see the light. But we've taken that light, and we've hidden that under a bushel. It doesn't take too long to taste salt, and yet what we've done is we say, "Oh, we're not going to put any salt in the earth." Who are you connecting with? Who are you connecting with? Are you making good connections, or are you making bad connections? Because it's very easy to get surrounded by the wrong people, and before you know it, that bad company has corrupted your good morals. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, and verse 24, it says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." These are the people we need in our lives, but we need to be a friend to those that are friendly to us. Are you a good connection? See, we've been talking about other people in the connection. We're talking about one, you, two, a friend, three, another friend, but you, are you a good connection? Are you a blessing in your friend's life? Are you the bad connection? Be a good connection. There's been times in my life where I've not always been that best connection for my friends. Not the best connection for my family, where they've been struggling with things, and for whatever reason I decided to go on throughout my life. Do we stop to lend a helping hand anymore? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those in the household of faith." As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. But what happens is our opportunity comes, we just let them pass by, and we don't take those opportunities to be a good connection, to be a good friend. Even if you're out here in this life, you're not going to make it through without connections, but you're going to have to ask yourself, who are you going to connect yourself with? Are you going to connect yourself with people who are trying to get to heaven? Or are you going to connect yourself with people who are trying to get you to do sinful activities? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Because what will happen is sometimes you connect yourself with people and they're not a good help to you. You look in Job chapter 2 and verse 11. And Job has some friends. And Job's friends, when you read in verse 11 of Job chapter 2, these friends look like they have sincere intentions. Sincere by anyone to help Job. And they go and they said, "Job is hurting. He's encountered all this adversity. We're going to go help him." So they went and they went to help him. And what we see is the chapters unfold in Job. It's just not really a blessing to Job, are they? They say, "Well, Job, what did you do, man? What did you do for all this to happen to your family? Your family died. Your house is in, we lost all your wealth.
Surely you did something wrong, Joe.
Sometimes we have friends in your lives, they want to help you, but they want to help you in the wrong way.
Hey, let's go do this.
Well, is that thing okay to do?
Oh, you're sad. Let's go get up.
You guys know. You guys know.
I know.
You know what's sad? Is that sin keeps creeping down to younger and younger age. And I'm glad what Rick did. Because what happens is that we're afraid to talk to you about sin. But yeah, you guys already know what it is.
You guys have been cowering in your lives. Your friends talk about it to the public school. Trust me, I know. I teach in scrimmage. I know what they talk about. I hear them.
And it would make your stomach roll. I said, I'm first grade. I had some things out of first graders made my stomach so sick. How would they ever know about that? You guys have to be careful. You have to be careful because sin will get us all, and if we don't have good connections, it is a lot easier for Satan to creep into that door. Because what happens is our bad friends, our bad company, they open the door to Satan. Come on in.
Come on in, Satan. There's a hole. Sit on the couch. Let it up. Relax.
You have to be careful. When it comes to connecting for eternal life, you have to understand you have an important role. You can make a difference. But be careful not to become isolated. Then we need to realize you need to form connections. Not connections with bad people who have bad influences in your life that lead you through to the path of sin, but surround yourself by good people, and you guys have the great blessing that some of us never had. This can be a great evil. It can be used for evil. You guys see it. I know what happens on Facebook, Twitter, and all these. I know what happens, but guess what? It can be used in a positive way. You know why? You can stay connected with these people. You can stay with these, connected with these people right here. The people that are trying to live the same life that you're trying to live. The people that are your same age. The people that you play against in the sports field. Those people that you know are good, you can stay connected with them. Or you can connect with the world. Make good connections. I pray, make good connections and make all the difference. I would not be here today if I didn't have good connections in my life. Don't even think anything else. Without the connections in my life, I'm not here. No doubt in my mind. So number one, when you're thinking about Connect Four, you have to think of yourself. Don't become isolated, but also understand one person can make a difference in this world. Number two, you have to think about the next two tips in the Connect Four. The next two tips. Who are those next two tips going to be? Are they going to be good influences or are they going to be bad influences? It's going to make all the difference in your life. Choose wise companions. Those who walk with wise companions will be wise. Be careful who you walk with. Birds of a feather flock together, as Rick says. It's amazing. When I walked with the basketball players, I was a basketball player. When I walked with a straight A student, I was a straight A student. When I walked with crap, I was crap. Well, that's a little more.
I'm trying to save your soul. We're talking about eternal life here. We're talking about connections that will get you where you need to go.
Be careful who you hang around. Then we think of the fourth shift. What could the fourth shift be? We kind of worked a little bit in reverse. Fourth shift is God. If you leave God out, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter a bit, a lick, nothing. If you leave God out,
you miss out on eternal life. You miss out on eternal life. God is a great connection. God is a great friend. In Romans, it tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is a great connection. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What can man do to me? Man can do a lot of things to me. But man can't keep my soul. Man can't keep my soul. They can beat me, they can cuss me, they can do all kinds of things. They can't keep my soul. Because the soul is going home to who you made it. And I have a choice of where that soul is going to go. God is a great connection. You need to connect with God. But what happens through our life is we decide that God is not going to be our connection.
That connection kind of goes like this when we don't want God in our lives. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? You have friends, family, people in your life who say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I serve God. Well, do you do the things that he says? Do you do the things that he says? See, people want a Savior. Like many scriptures have already talked about today, everyone wants eternal life at every union. It will be every person is going to eternal life. Everyone wants eternal life. Everyone wants the Savior, but not everyone wants the Lord. Not everyone wants the Master. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Because you don't serve the Lord. You have a connection with the Lord. A whole bunch of people in our world say, oh, yes, I know God. The Bible says that you know God, you keep his commandments. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But do you have a connection with God? Are you willing to do the things that God says? Because that's how to form a strong connection with your Lord. Do the things that God says. He has laid it out nice and easy. And when we form this connection with God, that's not based on feelings, but based on facts, based on the things that he has written in this book, a special thing happens. When we decide to become a Christian, and that's our decision, and we become a Christian, we're added to the kingdom. We're added to something very special. We're connected to God. And it's a love connection. And it's a love that should be through all our relationships throughout life. But it talks about this love that God has for us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. We get in the love of God. His love has always been for us. But the love that's in Christ Jesus, we're not going to be separated from it unless we want to walk away. If you want to walk away from the connection of God, that's your business. But this love that's in Christ is a special bond that will hold true throughout eternity. He loves us no matter what. But in Christ Jesus, this love that he has, it binds us together. It's above race. No, race, we're one family. Job, we're one family. I'm a teacher. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that are doctors. I have brothers, it doesn't matter. We can all be one in Christ Jesus. And that love that God has for us, it cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. And that's the love we have to have through all our connections. It doesn't matter how far I am away. The two people that I talked about that are connections in my life, guess what? You don't live close anymore. You don't live close anymore. Does that diminish our love? No. It doesn't diminish our love. In fact, it makes it stronger in many respects. One lives far, far away. Another one lives far, far away. Does that diminish our love? No. One day, one of them will die. Will that diminish our love? No. Why? Because we have a connection. A connection of love. God has that connection with us. If you want to be connected with God, you can be. You can be connected with God. When you think about Connect for you, you have to think about yourself. You have an important part of the connection. You have to keep them alive. You have to let them thrive. You have to be participating in your connection. You also have to think about who are you connecting yourself with? Who are your friends? Who are the people that you connect with? Are they good or are they bad? And then you have to connect with God and make sure that connection is thriving. The connection of love that should bind us through all of these things. In fact, we sing a song sometimes. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. What are we bound together with? Bind us together with love. Why? Because love is the strongest thing that can keep connections together. Don't let your connections be broken up. Don't let the good connections be broken up, because what Satan's going to do is going to try to drive a fence between your connections. It could be distance. It could be a whole bunch of things. It could be distance. It could be time. It could be all these things that Satan tries to do to break up our connections. We've got to keep them strong. And we can keep them strong with love. When we're talking about the next four for eternal life, you have to understand that you have a piece in this. You're an important piece. You won't be left behind. Two and three, you have to surround yourself by good company, because bad company corrupts good morals. And four, you have to connect with God. God has told us how we can be added to his family. He has told us that we have to hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's no other way to obtain faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to repent and say, I don't want to live the worldly way anymore. I want to turn and live for Christ. We have to confess. Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with our mouth. And be baptized in the remission of our sins. That old sinful man died, we're raised in newness of life, and we have a connection with God that can last through eternity. Don't let your connection die. Don't let your connections waver. Don't let your connections be broken up. Because without connection, we cannot connect for eternal life.